Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here with another episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. This is not just another episode, however, because we are going to be joined by a very special guest. Really one of the more interesting athletes to follow on social media, and all-around good dude, AJ Francis. Real quick, I need to tell everybody, folks, I need you downloading the podcast as much as you can and tell your friends so that my boss will be happy with me. All right, AJ, are you there?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I am doing really well, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem, man.
So let's start, man. I mean, you are a hometown guy, Gonzaga High School, University of Maryland, and you got to play with the Redskins. How cool was that? Looking now that the season's over, you've had a little time to kind of marinate on it all. What was your impression?
It was better than I expected. I honestly, first of all, I love how Coach Gruden runs the team, how the team is. How they structure the meetings, how they do the schedule during the day. I've been a lot of places in the NFL and didn't always like how things are run and thought that some things are run more micromanaged than they needed to be. And I think that Coach Gruden has a good pulse of what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done. And that's a great quality to have in a head coach. The players definitely appreciate that. It was crazy to me that so many people that have been following my career the entire time now get to come to the stadium and see me there, and instead of having to wait till the Seattle game comes on or the Miami game comes on or wherever else I was, it was a big transition because a lot of people from around this area that I didn't know were following my career, all of a sudden I became a Redskin, and all of a sudden they know everything about what I do on a day-in, day-out basis, and I had no idea that they even paid attention. So it was a surreal feeling, especially growing up, going to so many Redskins games. I was at the Redskins-Cowboys game. I forget what year it was, but it was the year that the Cowboys were lining up to kick a field goal to win the game, and it was blocked. And then Sean Taylor scooped it up and was going to run it back, and then got a face mask. And then, like, it was only like 17 seconds left, and it went from, in one play, the Cowboys kicking a field goal to win the game to the Redskins kicking a field goal and won the game. And, like, I have so many memories like that. It's crazy to be back there. I even played in FedEx Field in college. So it's like, it's just a crazy feeling to be back.
I remember that Sean Taylor game, and the Skins ended up kicking a field goal because of the penalty, right?
Yeah, because he was tackling like the 50, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it was a 15, and that was back when it was a judgment call for the ref. It would either be 15 or 5.
Right.
And they gave him the 15, and that put him in field goal range. I do remember that.
So you touched on a lot of really cool, interesting stuff there. But one thing I want to ask about, so Jay Gruden, when he talks to us, he seems like he's hysterical, man. Like he's always quick with a one-liner, and he just seems like a funny, good dude. Would you consider him a player's coach?
Yeah, I would. I think that he, the way he talks to a lot of players, the way he, like I said, structures the day, and I think he knows what the players want, and he also knows sometimes he's not going to give the players what they want.
Right.
But, like, because you're not going to get everything you want. That's just not how life works in general. But he understands when, if it won't matter one way or another, he understands that the players would appreciate something a certain way. He usually goes about doing it that way. And I've been places where that's not always the case. So, like, that in and of itself is a big touch for me that I appreciate, because, like, something simple like, like not having meetings the night before the game. You know, like, right, you spend all week getting ready for this game. You have meetings and a walkthrough on the Saturday, like, before you leave for the hotel.
Yep.
And then every other place I've ever been, it's like, all right, let's have more meetings Saturday night to go over the exact same things that we already talked about earlier in the day. And, like, at that point, I feel as if you don't know it by then and you need that last meeting, that you should be a professional in the first place. You've been going over it the entire week. This is the entire game plan. You shouldn't need that extra meeting. And Coach Gruden understands that. And so we come in, have a meeting about make sure that everybody has their mind focused for the next day, and then we go back to our hotel room. Like, it's get ready for the game. We don't have to do over-analyzing and get too tight with our preparation that we can't go out and perform.
So that kind of begs a question then. And the plan was not to put you on the spot, but the question kind of has to be asked based on that. Is there any way late in the year that maybe things were, there wasn't enough pressure being felt? Like, if you look at the slow starts against the Giants and then the last two home games, I'm thinking the Panthers also.
I mean, the thing is that those are two, it's easy. That's an easy cop-out way to say there wasn't enough preparation or there wasn't enough angst. Or what really happened was those were two really good teams that came out, had good game plans, and in the NFL, sometimes teams are going to have good games, and you're going to have to either beat them at their best, or you're not going to have enough for that day. I mean, last year, Cam Newton won the MVP, and they went to the Super Bowl. They're clearly
right,
very, very good team. So they came out with a good game plan, and they were able to execute. Just like the Giants did the same. The Giants were a very good team. They came out with a game plan, and to be quite frank, they weren't able to execute on offense.
Yeah,
there was a lot of things that could have gone differently in both of those games that would have flipped the game on its head. But at the same time, these were the same plans we made during the year when we beat the Packers, when we went out and, even though we lost to the Cowboys twice, both games we easily could have won. And you can't really throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, it's all bad because of how it happened in those two particular instances.
Well said. But did you just say throw out the baby with the bathwater? That's like a 1950s expression, I think.
Yeah, you just can't do it, you know? I'm ahead of my time, I guess.
Sure. All right, so back to fun stuff. So, and I appreciate you answering that, and really you gave good insight there. Is Jay funny? Because he seems funny as hell to me.
Yeah, he is. He's funny. He's a good guy. He's not always as funny as he thinks he is, but he has a good batting average. I'll give him credit that, you know, if he tries to make a joke, usually it's funny, but he does fall on his face a couple times, but anybody who's putting their shots in the air knows you can't make them all. So
shooters got to shoot, man.
I feel him. It happens to me too. So, you know, do I think he's as funny as I am? I don't think so. But, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people walking Earth that are. So, you know, I can't really put him in that category. But he is a funny guy.
So who's the funniest dude on the team?
That's a really good question. you know, Terrence Garvin is really funny, but Terrence Garvin's also funny that if you don't know what he's like, what he's talking about, or get where he's coming from, that some people don't laugh at some of the things he says because they don't get what he's saying. But I think he's hilarious. Ricky Jean Francois is very funny. Ziggy Hood is hilarious for sure. Bake is funny, but Bake is over the top funny to the point that sometimes it's not funny. Jink is really funny. The D-line in and of itself is very funny.
All right, so I gotta,
you have to be, pretty much.
You are a big, loud man. But on that D-line, I don't think you're the loudest guy between Ricky and Bake, man. Who's louder?
I just say, when we were meeting, I would just sit in there and I would just watch the film and just let everything fly, because there are so many characters in that room that I don't even feel the need to have to really even say anything. Like, I would chime in sometimes, but like, there's so much going on in the room between the characters that are in there that it ends up being, like, if I was going to chime in, it would end up being overkill. So I just let it go, and I just laughed the whole time. Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, just the way Ricky would always kind of hold court at his locker, and whatever the debate was, there was just constant debate. I mean, whether it was music or shoes or the 3-4 scheme or just whatever it was, Ricky always seemed to be in the middle of it, and then Bake would always get involved. What, you are a savvy internet guy, so you may have seen it. I would say towards the end of the season, there was a little bit of like somebody on the radio, I can't remember who, said something about like, oh, the team shouldn't have ping pong in the locker room. Did you ever see any of that?
No, I really don't. I mean, there's so many people that it's everybody who's never done it will tell you how to do it.
Right.
That's what I've always got out of critics, is that people think that we shouldn't have ping pong in the locker room. For what? But what is your reason for that? Why is it that in the 20 minutes in between when you eat lunch,
right,
and when you have to get ready for practice, when you already were in meetings for 4 hours and you're going to be in meetings for 2 hours after practice, why can't you play ping pong for 20 minutes? Like, what is your big issue with that situation?
I agree. And I don't know if you know this, but the last day in their locker clean out, Tony Wiley, oh, I don't know if they were letting us, but we kind of just messed around and played a little bit. What was your best game? Shuffleboard, ping pong?
Yeah, I mean, shuffleboard would probably be my best game. I used to be pretty good at ping pong when I was in Seattle because I was playing every day, but I'm kind of lazy, so like the ping pong table's on the other side of the locker room, and the shuffleboard table is like literally right in front of
my
locker.
Yeah, it's right at your locker, right.
I ended up playing more shuffleboard.
All right, fair enough. Are you paying attention to the D coordinator search right now?
Yeah, I am. Obviously, I have to. It's my job. I hope that Manessa gets the job. But personally, I really don't know what he would do to change the scheme. I don't know any about that, but I like Manessa as a guy. I think he's a good guy. I think that he has a good heart with good intentions, and I think that he's a good coach. And I also know that he's seen everything that I've done in practice every day, and the reason why I was re-signed at the end of the year. And I think if another D coordinator comes in, it could get one of those. Well, it wouldn't be. I could. I would literally be starting back from zero. Yeah, the front office has seen it, and yeah, my coach. Well, actually, not even my coach. She's not even there anymore. But like, Coach Gruden's seen it and all that, but you still are starting back from zero with the guy who's making a lot of decisions. He might not be making all the decisions, but he's making a lot of decisions.
Well,
defensive coordinator. So I hope Manusk gets the job. And if he doesn't, I'm glad that he's still on the staff, because he's a good coach and he's a he actually, to be quite honest with you, if I had to say who the funniest guy in the building was, not on the team, but in the building, it would be Manusk. Manusk is hilarious.
Yeah.
But I hope he gets the gig, but if he doesn't, he's going to have to go out and do what I do every year, and let's show why I belong in the NFL.
So, You raised a really interesting point there in that for where you are on the roster, where it's practice squad or inactive for games or wherever you kind of land, how tough is that kind of the day-to-day? And then if there is a coaching change, how much that can impact you?
I mean, it doesn't really change what you do day-to-day. Whether you're a starter or you're on the practice squad, you pretty much do all the same stuff day-to-day-wise. The only difference is the numbers that come in your check on Sunday are vastly different. That's the real only difference, because when I was on the 2 weeks I was active in NBC this year,
yep,
and it was 11 weeks, I was, or 10 weeks, I was on the practice squad, I did literally the same thing every week. I lift at least three times. I practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, I went to all the same meetings. I've got all the same post-practice treatment and rehab. So nothing really changed. The only thing that changed is the money I was getting.
And just as an observer that's in that locker room every day, it's very obvious that nothing is different, because all the guys, you guys are all just there. You walk out together. You kick us out when you want us to go. You know what I mean? There's really no different. One thing I'm curious about, because your days are so regimented in season, what is it like now for you that you've been, you're 2 weeks off, 10 days off, whenever the season ended? And what are you doing now?
Well, I mean, I just bought a house in Orlando, so I've been...
Oh, I saw your tweet. I didn't know it was down in Florida, though. I thought you'd stay local, man.
Yeah, when I was on the Dolphins, I was on Dolphins for 2.5 years. And before I was on the Dolphins, I trained at Bomberitos. And anybody who knows Bomberitos, his facility is literally one street away from the Dolphins facility. So, I was in South Florida already. So I really lived in South Florida for 3+ years. And I realized that I realized that it didn't snow in Florida, but I didn't conceptualize the fact that if you live in Florida, you literally never have to deal with snow. And so I lived here for 3 years, and then I was like, man, I don't like dealing with the cold and all that. I did it for 20+ years. I don't really enjoy having to dig myself out or having planes canceled because the roads are covered in snow.
Yeah.
So I realized I wanted to live in Florida, but I didn't want to live in South Florida because it's too pricey and it's too wild. The nightlife there is just too much for me, because I know myself, I'd be living like a heathen down there in Miami. So I ended up buying this house in Orlando. It's still in Florida, Central Florida, got the same tax break. It's a cheaper place to live, and today was a beautiful, sunny 79.
I am jealous of all that. Yeah, no state income tax and nice weather. Versus I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is practically like living in Scandinavian countries. And
yeah.
And I'm sure it'll freezing rain on me this weekend or whatever.
Yeah, but I've just been, fixing, buying all the furniture we needed, setting everything up, doing all that. I haven't really done any weight rooms or drill work. I'll start back lifting on Monday. I usually take a couple weeks off before I get back into it. I'll start back lifting on Monday. And in the off season, I'll do D-line drills and conditioning 2 times a week. But other than that, my conditioning is actually playing sports, basketball or a softball or soccer or something that's fun to do, because I get annoyed when I'm just out there running for no reason, because no matter how much shape that you come back in, you're still not in football shape until you play football, so it won't matter.
Right. Well, and I'm going to break a little news on this podcast. Running sucks, man. So
it's the worst. I'll play 10 games of basketball,
right,
and expend 5 times as much energy as I would if I just did sprints for 20 minutes on and off, and I'll actually enjoy myself doing it and not hate my life. So I'd rather do that anytime.
I love, I love playing sports. I love, like, something stupid, chasing my dog around. But to get me to go, like, run a mile for exercise, I'd rather hang myself, man. That does nothing for me.
Yeah, I feel you. No, I'm not a big I go out there and run guy. I like if I'm doing drill work or something, that's cool. I love the drill work. I love lifting weights. But, like, just flat out going on a treadmill and running for 5 miles, that's terrible. I'm with you.
But what's up with your sports academy, man? Tell us about that a little bit.
My dad and I, we founded a sports academy where he does basketball training and I do football training. I'm about to start the football training down here in Orlando within the next couple of weeks. I'm about to start doing it. And my dad is the head basketball coach. My dad's coached a bunch of guys in the NBA. Have played overseas, have got D1 scholarships.
That's cool, man. Where did he coach?
But now he's the head basketball coach at Old Mill High School.
Oh, okay, Howard County?
Yeah, who's currently 14-0.
Oh, wow.
And they are the only undefeated team remaining in Anne County. And he clearly knows what he's doing, and it's you want to get your kid training with the best, football or basketball. I'll be back when I'm in Maryland for OTAs and whatnot. I'm going to host football clinics up there as well. If you want to hear more information, you can go to francissportsacademy.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at francis_sports or Instagram francis_sports to keep up to date. And whenever we have training sessions, basketball or football, we post it on the website and on those social media platforms. And it's been growing, man. We started with only like a handful of kids, and now we got a group of kids that come out. It's K-12. It's all age groups. And what I'm about to start doing, you're about to get an exclusive. Nobody else knows it.
Oh, breaking news.
What I'm about to start doing is the next phase that I've always had in mind is personal training, athletic personal training, where I'll design your weight room regimen and your nutrition and your drill work, if you want it, whatever sport it is. Because even though I play D-line, I have one of my very good friends is Alejandro Bedoya, who plays for the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team, so I can get drills from him.
See a Terp?
I have friends that play in the NBA, like Rudy Gay. I can get drills from him. I have friends that are Major League Baseball players, like L.J. Hose, that plays for the Baltimore Orioles. I can get drills from him. I have a lot of very good people I can reach out to. And then within football, I have obviously I have friends that are quarterbacks and receivers and running backs and DBs. And I plan on making the Francis Sports Academy the biggest thing in Maryland to go to and make sure that that's where you learn from the best and you get the best out of your training. So I'm looking forward to it.
Very cool, man. What kind of drills would you recommend for a 35-year-old semi, probably a little too much weight on his frame?
I would definitely tell you to get in the pool, swim it out.
All right. You know, I like swimming.
Take some of that beating off your knees at 35, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get that beating off your knees, get some cardio in the pool, and then, you know, go get some buckets, hit some curls for the girls, and be about your day. I feel like at 35, this should be the time when you're doing everything to stay in the position where you can go out and look the part without actually having to be the part.
Right. Well, and the damn camera's adding 10 pounds, too. So, you know, whenever...
Yeah, that never helps.
It doesn't help.
I mean, man, imagine you were 335.
True. You know what was pretty lame was during training camp, by the end... Now, I was running around a little bit just because I enjoy, like you said, you doing drills, you enjoy that. I like just, like, being around football like that because, you know, I played a terrible amount in high school and stuff, but, like, I would always throw the football around. By the end of camp, I was having to ice my ankle every night, man. I felt so old.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're washed, bro.
I am.
Sorry. It happens to everybody. I had to break the news to my dad, like, 2 years ago. We were playing basketball. We played one game. And he had to shove himself out. And I was like, yo, you're washed, man. Like, it's all right. You know, my dad is 40. He's going to be 48 this year. But, like, yeah, man, you're washed. It happens. But, you know, it happens to everybody. because I'm still in the prime of my life. But yeah, you're on the back end of your athletic career, man.
We can't all be pro athletes, AJ. We can't. Dude, so we've broken a lot of news so far in this podcast. Do you want to break any Kirk Cousins news? You got anything on that?
No, I don't. I if anybody says they know what's going on, they're lying. No one outside of a front office knows what they're going to do at any time. So
yeah.
And I've learned that through all the teams I've been on, all the crazy moves I've seen, whether it be who they let go or who they signed back for how much, or who they drafted, you never know. And to think that you have an idea of what's going to happen is wrong. So, like, just it's all up to the two or three people that really have say in the decision-making process, and they're going to come up with a decision whenever they want to, and not a second before.
I hear it. So I've kept you for over 20 minutes now, and I don't want to hold you up too much longer. I know you've got busy things to do. You got to probably go move furniture or build furniture or whatever's happening down there.
Luckily, we're done the building phase. Now it's like making everything look good. So that's all right.
Yeah. Good luck with all that, dude. We moved into my house a year ago, and I'm still working on stuff. So.
Yeah, I know. I got to get a fence put up. It's just a whole thing. It's a whole deal.
Are you going to do the fence yourself?
No, I'm not going to do the fence myself. Okay. But a lot of the stuff around here I have done myself. The only real things I had people help me with was electrical and plumbing. Those are really the only two things I can't do. Pretty much everything else, if it has an instruction manual, I can pretty much figure it out. But I won't trust myself with wires or pipes. That's not going to happen.
I think that's smart. I'm pretty handy around the house, and I have the same rules. I'll do a little bit electric just because I trust, like, if the fuse is off, I know I'm not going to get shocked. So I'll at least try some stuff. But you need
I just, if my house burns down, I want to be able to blame somebody else so that I can get insurance money.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't really want it to be my fault and then I'm left holding the bag, you know?
That's a very good point. Very good point. So somehow we've talked for 25 minutes and haven't even talked about the University of Maryland. So, real quick, were you Bentley's or Cornerstone? What was your scene?
You know, what's funny is that I always went to Bentley's because that's where the football team goes, that's where all my friends were, and because that's where all my friends were, that's usually where all the girls I knew were. But me personally, I always thought Cornerstone was a better bar because it didn't smell like vomit in the front of the bar. And it also had the whole two-level thing, but like Bentley's has a bottom basement level, but that's not really a level. That's just like there happens to be a bar down there.
Well, and that's also where it smells the worst, is down there.
And the worst bathroom ever. And I also got banned for life from Bentley's like three different times, and none of the three times was what happened to me. Like, what happened that made them mad was my fault. Like, there was one time a guy on the wrestling team ripped the door off the hinges of the bathroom, and they just assumed you played football, so then all the football players were banned, and I was like, dude, like, this guy doesn't even play football. Like, you sound like the dumbest person ever. Things like that used to piss me off about Bentley's all the time. But, you know, personally, the best thing they ever had there was Santa Fe, but then it closed down.
Yeah, I had some Santa Fe... What, Wild Wing Wednesdays?
Oh, dude, Santa Fe was popping every night. There was my sophomore year, we'd probably go to Santa Fe a minimum four times a week. Probably like five, six times a week, if I'm being honest. But it was definitely a minimum of four times a week.
Well, and they used to do that like midnight buffet on Saturday nights, I think. I don't know. I'm older than you, obviously, but
I don't remember a buffet, but what I do remember is I got to dance on stage, and the only reason I got to do that is because I played football, because anytime anyone else got up there that didn't play football or, like, wasn't a smoking hot girl, they would kick them off immediately. So that was cool to be able to go up there, for sure. That was probably my favorite part about that.
Well, and that's a pretty good rule. Football players are really hot chicks, and then everybody else is toast. I think that's fair.
Also, one of the greatest nights of my life ever was in there. It was after Maryland had won the ACC, and Grievous had won ACC Player of the Year, and we were celebrating in Cornerstone, and that was a hell of a night for sure.
I can only imagine.
I mean, not Cornerstone, sorry, Santa Fe, and it was a hell of a night. I got to give Grievous his love. He's a great man.
Where is he now?
He was in Brooklyn at the end of last year, and I don't know where he is now. I know he was rehabbing, but you know, wherever he is, he's in the NBA, so he's not hurting.
Right. Dude, how did you end up playing football if your pop is Mr. Basketball?
Because I stopped growing. I was a power forward, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, I could have, if I really stuck with it, I could have played basketball in college, but that really wasn't like play basketball in college or play football in professional. Like,
yeah.
It's not really a comparison. So
for sure.
Like, I made the right decision to stop playing when I realized I had so many scholarship offers in football, and it was just not even in comparison to what I was getting recruited for in basketball.
Makes sense. Look, you have gone way past what I hoped for time-wise, so I don't want to hold you up. How does everybody find you on Twitter? It's at AJ Francis?
Yeah, it's at AJ Francis 410. You can find me there. Like I said, my Instagram is Francis_sports. The Francis Sports Academy, we have a Twitter too. You can find me there. You can contact me. But yeah, the easiest way to get in reach me is AJ Francis 410 on Twitter.
Awesome. Dude, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. You guys heard it. Go follow AJ, a all around great dude and a Terp, a very well known Terp. I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a lot.
No, I appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Take care.
I owe you a beer.